In this episode, we will be using BattleBards sound effects. Check them out, battlebards.com. And if you're signing up for a Prime account, be sure to use our code STACK to get a discount.
There was a movie with, Sinbad, and he was pretending to be a dentist.
With Bill Hartman?
Yes, and he made a mistake and thought it was soap, but he grabbed the Novocaine on his hands, and then he's got like this, and he's like... in front of these people, and he has to take this person's tooth out.
It is legitimately hilarious. I remember that, seeing that. I was crying. It was very good.
Okay, oh, we'll have to look for that. We have some things to cover here.
Okay.
All right, to start with, we've been sitting on this for a while, but we received something in the mail.
We got a present!
Yeah, we did. I'm going to start with the letter that was inside.
Which he cut to pieces.
This is from Rabdophora on our Discord server. She writes, "Dear Stack of Dice team," this is the first time I'm actually reading this, so this is all new to me too. Ooh. "Thanks for producing good, clean fun and for helping to inspire me to make the dive into D&D. I had been curious about it for a while, though most of my understanding of how it was played came from Stranger Things and the special episodes of Community. I figured I ought to find a podcast that better portrayed how it really is to play around a table, and yours seemed a great place to start." Oh, well, thank you. "Your storytelling and role-playing gave me the final push I needed to find my own table. In fact, I think it's probably thanks to you that our giant campaign of now 8 players came to be."
Wow. Yeah.
Who could find the time?
That's one ambitious DM. "My DM convinced his PhD cohort to try out D&D because I approached him about playing, and your commitments to embrace your characters inspired me to give role-playing my full effort. One of my fellow players recently commended me for my role-playing, and I have to credit Meredith's courage and performances as my model, even if my character is more like Bash."
Yay!
"So thank you for shaping my life in a positive way through your podcasting adventure. Hearing you play and picking up my own game has really been a huge benefit to my regular routines, and I have made so many new friends between your Discord community, my campaign group, and other people I've connected with at church and elsewhere over common interests in D&D. By one way of thanks, I have crocheted your very own iron stag to keep and remember your adventures by. I adapted Jess Huff's Dash the Deer pattern. Have to give credit where credit is due. And while some of the positioning and balance is wonkier than I would prefer, I suppose Enderil has been through some things and is a little worse for wear lately.
Enjoy
your new snuggle buddy, and I look forward to hearing how this great epic is going to end. Love, Rabdophora."
Oh my word.
Now, I'm going to actually record this. She asked that I record this, but I'll hand the package to Meredith to pull out the stag.
Okay. Ooh, it's squishy.
Get out. That looks awesome.
Oh, I love him. He's mine. Look how cute he is.
Oh, wow.
Oh, look.
Let me see. No, he's mine. This is cool.
That is so adorable.
Yeah, so neat. Great job.
Oh, look at him, little eyes and his nosy.
Great. We've been waiting to open this package. It came while we were away.
Yes. It was lost in the mail for a bit. We're like, oh no, we're never going to get him. You're okay.
Yeah. Oh, how wonderful.
That is so cute. Is it it's going to knock your screen over, right? No, he's good.
Rabdophora, thank you so much for sending this our way and for the work you put into this beautiful little...
It must have taken a while.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Did you know the hooves? The hooves are like
They have the
dimpled,
little...
like the cleft in the
hooves. Look at his hooves.
People who crochet just... that's such a neat skill to have.
Aww.
Rabdophora sounded familiar to me. I was trying to figure out if I knew what the provenance of that was. What a neat name.
It's Greek. Picked. It means one who carries a rod.
Okay.
And it's named after, well,
Rabdomancy.
It's a fish.
That's very cool.
Yeah. I actually thought it was Reptavia. I thought it was like Fiddler on the Roof. But
Laser Wolf. What a name.
Laser Wolf.
Okay. Just to remind ourselves, why don't we talk briefly about what happened last time?
Everything.
Let's start with Meredith.
Everything went to absolute.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. Yeah. So we're in this courtyard, and it's dark
we just decided to go in the middle of the night instead of waiting.
This creature is in there.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay. It's approaching.
But we suddenly found ourselves surrounded by the Ritter, even though we barely found our way there. Right. And all of a sudden, there they are.
They are not our bigger problem right now.
Not at the moment, because they're all frozen.
Or dead.
Oh, yeah, that's or right. Dead. Frozen. I'm frozen.
Yes. So, am I. Yeah. Yes. Of our party, it's just me and Hild and Thump. Literally everyone else is a frozen statue.
There are currently. No doors.
No doors or windows in any of the buildings.
There are alleyways.
Yes.
Yes.
Down which something huge is coming.
From the north.
There are, yeah, it is coming.
And so, the stone slab that Possum's been carrying is glowing.
My weasel. I have a week.
Do I have two weasels? You have a giant weasel and a jackal.
A week of jackal. They're still out.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can just like use telepathy on them or something. So you can't move, but you can be like,
correct. I could. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
All
right.
So
I'm over here going, okay.
Yes. Yeah. And one last thing to remember. Tira just took down the captain and Thump disapproves.
Thump you is judging broke me. The captain I broke her in half. Like the T-1000. She was frozen in place and you shattered her. You liquidated her, eh?
Very resourceful.
Was it a weasel and a jackal?
Is that yes, a giant weasel and a jackal.
Oh, giant.
Mm. Yes.
Well, I mean, you can't get like tiny weasels.
Yeah, that would be ridiculous.
Maybe it'll be my familiar or something.
Isn't that what artists use to paint on?
No, that's just the Weasley's easel.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so none of our traditional healers are available. Tira has a limited healing ability, but none of the physical objects she needs for that are around her. She needs uncut stone, and everything here is worked.
Well, with that exciting introduction, we are ready to begin. We'll start with a question. Our question comes from Fancy Bone, who asks, what sort of job would they be able to find, meaning the party, or would they look for if they were transported to our world?
Oh, man. Dear, be a butcher.
Sounds good.
A butcher or a miner. I mean, she would just go straight to Pennsylvania and be like, let me at it.
Well, she's obviously over 18.
What's that?
I said, she's obviously over 18.
What's that? Yeah,
not a miner.
A minor, not a minor.
She's a young butcher.
Mine is not minor.
Okay, so we have Meredith's answer.
For once, I was the first one off the mark. Yeah. Woo!
Bash would be on a farm. He'd be a farmhand working with animals, more likely, probably.
Okay. And eating them?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Tell me about the rabbits, George.
Come here, little hogs. Come over here. I made this bed for you.
Tell me about the rabbits, George. I will love him a hug.
Yep. Sekhmet, a politician, obviously. Absolutely.
Or an assassin.
CIA.
I mean,
politician by day, assassin by night. Yeah.
Isn't it the same thing?
Yes, likely involved in some sort of local politics where he can sometimes awkwardly bump people off if he needs to.
Yeah. So I love it. I love it.
What about Thump? What do we think about Thump?
Zoo?
Whoa.
I don't know.
Circus freak show.
Racist.
No, let's see. What would...
I mean, he doesn't speak. Actually, he does. He chooses for the most part not to.
Well, he can't very well.
Okay.
Because he has no tongue.
Some of the words that he's spoken, though, have been pretty good.
Well, he spoke one time.
Once. Wasn't it twice?
Once.
First one time right before he turned into a crystal.
Because he has no tongue. Did you guys see Rat Race?
No.
Yes.
There's the brother in there who pierces his tongue, but it gets infective. So he hot like, yeah. And he's like, oh, I'm going to hit that on you. It's hilarious.
Anyway, gather. I don't know. A guard, like a prison guard or.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, just a very stoic.
Dude, he could be one of those like palace guards at Buckingham with the big old poofy hat.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to move or anything. He could rock that. He wouldn't even have to. He could just freeze into crystal form and be like.
So we have a butcher, an animal eater. An assassin and a beef eater. So,
Yeah.
Wow. This
she
is
a girl beef eater.
Okay. Well, we appreciate the question, Fancy Bone. If you have other thoughts as to what our characters might become should they venture into the real world, please let us know what you think. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Stack of Dice. Email us at stack.o.dice@gmail.com. Find us on Discord and share your thoughts there. And if you feel like supporting us, we would welcome that on Ko-fi. All of that information is available in the show notes. With that, hello, Stackers. Thank you for joining us around our table as we continue our ongoing 5th edition D&D adventure. I am Rhett the DM, and with me is...
Meredith as Tyr Ironstag.
Michael as Womberbash Benson Mum.
And Jeremy as currently frozen Sekhmet.
Who's ready to tell a story?
I am.
Me?
Wah.
Follow a band of intrepid friends as they seek to understand the world changing around them, and as they work together to face a growing evil. Enter a world of adventure and mystery in Vardalon.
Previously on Stack of Dice.
Womberbash, you get to go first.
What does a spear look like?
It does not look familiar.
Okay.
The handle is red.
Okay.
And other than that, it just looks like a...
And it came down at an angle, so it came down.
It came from one of the side.
Okay, so it's sort of, okay, all right, cool.
Hild screams a little bit and quails before the onslaught of this attack. That's going to hit. That's going to hit. And that's going to hit.
I imagine she can't have a terribly high armor class.
No, 16-year-old's dead now.
Oh my.
Told you.
She collapses onto the ground and is still. The spear clatters to the flagstones next to her. Sekhmet, you're just getting turned around when suddenly there's a flash of even greater darkness. There's a short, sharp scream, and when you look back, your former assailant is gone. No sign of him. The darkness seems to rise into the air and pull back into one of the side streets, but aside from that, there is no sign that there was ever anyone there except a couple of boot prints. The cold becomes even worse, and to your desert blood, Sekhmet, this is torture. Anyone affected this round is paralyzed. You are in a paralyzed, incapacitated condition and cannot move or speak. There's the crunching sound of ice forming around you.
Yes.
All right, so...
Mine is consistent.
Yeah, it is. It got the same thing both times. So 16, 24, 27.
Your first shot took her armor off, sheared it off.
The second one
shot takes her
off,
took her head off.
The second one cuts through her at the waist.
Ooh.
Her legs topple forward one way. The top half hits and then falls backwards and shatters, scattering backwards across the flagstone.
You need to go...
Yeah, I wonder how much Thump disapproves.
No.
But he was calling for me, so
whatever.
I mean...
There's the smell of raw meat in the air, and he looks very, very angrily at you.
Hang on. I know I've got raw meat. Oh, but I don't know what it means. Well, maybe it means angry. He's probably thinking,
she couldn't even fight back.
Poor form.
Yep.
The face and other parts of the captain of the Ritter go skittering across the flagstones and come to a stop. There is silence in the square. Tyr, you can feel a palpable irritation rolling off of Thump, and there's a heavy raw meat smell in the air. Otherwise, Hild gets to her feet shakily, using the spear as a staff, and she begins to limp over toward where you and Thump are standing. Thump glowers at you, Tyr. His nostrils are opening and closing very, very visibly, and he snorts and crosses his arms.
All right, with the sudden cessation of activity, it's gone, I'm assuming it's gone pretty well silent.
It's silent.
So Tyr is, she's still kind of heaving and
flames.
Inflamed, but as, flames on the side of my face, but just for a few seconds while that, the adrenaline is just like wearing off, and then her rage subsides. She hears Thump's snort and looks up at him. What? What was I supposed to do?
He holds your gaze, and there's a heavy, damp stone smell in the air.
Yes, I heard you call for me. That's why I came. She needed to be dealt with. She was the main threat. What did you expect me to do?
He continues to stare at you.
With the rage subsiding and the very obvious disapproval of Thump, Tira begins to question herself a little bit, but her like defenses are coming up, and you know, she's just sort of bucking against feeling any guilt over this. For the moment, she's going to put that aside. We can deal with this situation in a minute. She turns to Hild.
She has stopped short. She's actually kneeling down by Possum.
Yeah.
Why is he frozen?
Tira runs over there. There has been...
Why are they all frozen?
I don't know. It's part of the effect of this area. Sometimes when we get into these big fights...
We need to get out of here.
We can't leave just yet. Maybe we can help them somehow. First of all, are you okay?
I feel fine enough. I have this. And she taps the staff or the spear against the ground.
So then Tira leans down over Thump and she's kind of looking at him closely and then notices a faint light.
Looking down at Possum.
What did I say?
Thump.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, no one looks down at Thump.
That's very true. Certainly not Tira. Tira's looking down at Possum and sort of looking him over is, let's see, what can I do? What can I do? And notices a glow. Mm-hmm. He's got his arms wrapped around it, basically.
Yeah, the stone is in his grasp.
Yeah.
It's pinioned against him because of the freezing.
Right.
Right.
Wait, what is going on with this? Can she get the stone out or his frozen arms?
Yeah, you can slide it out.
Okay. She reaches in. Yeah. That's what I was worried about. I'm like, are his arms too tightly wrapped around it for me to slide it out? No, okay.
You can get it out.
So she slides the stone out. How does it feel under her fingers? Is it warm?
Yeah, and in fact, there's water trickling down Possum.
Okay.
And then it begins to freeze again as you feel a new wave of cold.
It the stone or it Possum? Oh, just the environment freezes again.
The
a new wave of cold.
The world begins to get cold.
Oh, no, it's happening again. It's happening again.
And then there's a cycle of smells of damp stone, methane, and skunk. When you look back, you see Thump standing. He is no longer looking in your direction. He has turned around and he is facing the north side of the plaza where the darkness is. He stands tall, his shoulders spread, his head is held high, and a new scent, one that you're not familiar with, rolls off of him, and he takes a tentative step forward in the direction he's looking.
Tira looks over at Thump, and then in the direction that he is looking, I heard something down that way, too.
That's where the darkness is.
Right.
Yeah.
What was the new smell?
It's not one that you're familiar with.
So we just don't know this. We can't place the smell even.
It's really indescribable. It's not really comparable to anything. Mm. The best you can get is something approaching like an animal smell.
Mm. That great outdoors kind of a smell. Animal sweat.
Something.
Mm-hmm.
He peed himself. Great.
Okay. You said that a new wave of cold is running
coming
through.
From the north. Yeah.
Coming from the north.
Yep.
Is the stone still glowing
yep.
in my grasp?
Thump takes a step forward, generates that smell.
Mm-hmm. Smells like a zoo.
There is a large shuffling sound that comes from that shadowy mass to the north, and Thump holds up his hand warningly to the rest of you behind him.
Just stay back.
Well, Zach, that's not going anywhere. Yeah, no.
No one else is moving. Tira looks back down at this stone, and she's going to hold it out in front of her at arm's length. Can I do a stone cunning check on it
sure.
to see if anything is... Okay, that's just history.
Double proficiency bonus.
Is it double? Sweet. I knew I got proficiency, but that's a good thing. So that makes it 22.
The stone is obviously, you knew this before, mm-hmm. like a keystone.
Right.
And as you look at it, you realize that from your initial scan of the plaza when you first came in, there was an indentation on one of the building faces near you that looked like it was the approximate shape. It was indistinct at the time, but you think that might be where it is. However, it was too high for you to reach alone.
Oof. Okay. So remembering this, and she scans the courtyard, where was that? I saw something where this might go. Where was that?
On the east side of the plaza, inside the porticoed area.
Oh, it's how high is it up? Like 10 feet? Or?
It's about 7-8 feet.
Okay.
It's Thump height.
I know. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Well, there may be. How am I going to get
and
there?
And then Thump starts trotting forward north toward the edge of the plaza.
Thump, wait, I have an idea.
He growls.
Oh, he's not going to help me. He's mad.
And suddenly there's a bright flash of blue. The smell of ozone in the air and a streak of lightning bolts northward out of the alley from
good
his
night,
mouth.
Gus.
Breath weapon, maybe.
Tyr jumps back in surprise.
The darkness fades as it draws back further north away from this area.
What did you do?
Thump turns around. His eyes are wide. The slits of his eyes are dilated.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks scared.
That is not something that Tyr is used to seeing.
He comes back to you shakily.
So I know this is my fault for not knowing this. Is this the first time we've seen Thump do breath weapon?
No.
No.
Okay.
You said he's starting to retreat back from where he stepped forward to?
He's moving shakily back toward you.
Okay.
There's a faint damp stone smell in the air.
It'll be all right, Thump. I mean, it seems like you bought us some time. Come with me over here. I have an idea. Do you see that? You see that little notch in the wall up here on the porch? Can you help me up there? I think the stone might go there.
When you're frozen, are you literally frozen in time, mind everything, or are you conscious and able to think and do things?
I'll say that you're aware of what's going on. You're just immobile.
Okay, good. I'd like to try something at some point, but continue.
Okay.
He looks at you. You can still sense irritation. There's a tightness to his shoulders, but he walks with you.
Okay. She's going to make tracks over to that spot because it doesn't feel like there's any time to lose here. And she stands right underneath it. I think if I get up on your shoulders or if you even just lift me up, I might be able to fit this.
Toss me,
yeah. Anyway, if you just lift me up, I think I might be able to fit this stone into that notch. I know you're upset with me, and we can deal with that later.
He grabs you perhaps a little more hard.
A little more aggressively, yeah.
Than you feel is warranted, and he lifts you straight up.
Mm-hmm.
From your lofty perch, you sense the slight depression in the stone where the keystone fits.
I think this is the spot. She holds it up and just compares shapes and size. That looks perfect, and she moves forward to slide it into place.
The stone feels comfortable in your grasp, and you turn it and press it into place, and two things happen at once. First, the stone slides into place with a satisfying click. At the same time, the sharp smell of sulfur fills the air.
Hang on.
Thump is looking to the left, the north side of the plaza again. The darkness is returning, and with it, the bitter cold. Undeterred, Tyra, you stare at the keystone, willing something to happen. It feels like something should have by now. It's blended into the wall almost seamlessly, and then the stones begin to move. The wall begins to fold backward, rolling out of sight. In moments, a pointed arched entrance into the building is exposed. The cold blooms white behind you with increasing speed. An etching, sketching sound as of ice cracking along a million little fault lines sounds in your desperate ears.
We've got to get out of here. Thump, help me. Grab Possum. I'll get Bash. Let's go. She's
going to
run over. Oh, my word. I'm so sorry. Oh, no.
He's only got so many arms.
Well, but I mean, I just flat forgot about you.
Thump is running. He runs over to Possum, who is slight, and he was already huddled up.
Yeah.
Against the wall of the fountain. He basically picks him up under one arm. He's basically ball possum now.
Right, ball possum. Possum ball.
And little possum has curled up on his lap, so that's a twofer.
Uh-huh. Grab Sekhmet!
Okay, and you're working on...
I'm over going to Bash.
Okay. With a grunt, you tug at him, but his feet are a little bit stuck to the ground.
No.
But you're able to, with a little movement, rock him back, and he... fits easily into your arms.
Come on, Bash. I've got you.
Princess Carrie.
Yes.
Thump scoops up Sekhmet on the way by, and you disappear into the building.
So since Bash and I were able to kind of observe some basic things that were going on, even though we could not move with any kind of like dexterity or anything like that.
Eyeballs.
Well, yeah. Was there only one doorway that opened?
Only one doorway that opened, yes.
Ooh, good thinking. I didn't even think to check that.
But it's on the east side. So east coming side. From the north side is the dark the blackness that freezes the things. And then on the east side, directly under where the capstone fit, yes. a door opened.
Perfect. Yeah.
You run inside and not a moment too soon. Even as the wall begins to build its way back into place, icy fingers of cold stretch in after you, glistening in crystalline splendor as the unnatural cold forces its way over the threshold. Just before the last blocks swing into place to seal out the frost's unwelcome reach, the weak light of the moon above wavers uncertainly as darkness billows into the plaza. Then the wall finishes closing. There's a heavy thud and a muffled scream of fury barely penetrates the thick stone. The last light of the night sky is cut off with a grating sound. The thing outside is not happy, whatever it is, and there's a flurry of heavy blows against the other side of the protective wall. The sturdy masonry shudders against the attack, as solidly constructed as it is, and small drifts of dust descend from the ceiling at the impact. There are three distinct booms as the thing hurls itself against the stone, and then silence. You stand in the darkness, holding your breath, and three melting figures.
Little dwarf, let me.
But it isn't completely dark in here, is it? As your eyes adjust to the interior, you find there's a dim reddish hue that seems to rise from the floor. This room is also quite warm, a welcome relief from the wintry blast that was creeping towards you only moments ago. What frost did creep in has already begun melting into damp patches on the stone. Bash, Sekhmet, you find your extremities thawing and life returning to your aching limbs.
Thanks, Tira.
Tira runs over to Bash.
He gives you the cold shoulder.
You were just waiting to use that. You were just waiting. She runs over to Bash and reaches up, takes his face in her hands and just looks into his face very intently. Are you okay? Are you all right? Bash, talk.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Here, lay down on this floor. It's where the warmth is radiating from. And she, like, basically dips him down and lays him down against the stone, like, flat out, as fast as you can.
You feel an accelerated pace of thawing for both of you.
Sekhmet's going to crawl over into the corner and, like, kind of huddle up. Sekhmet doesn't like the cold, period. Sekhmet really did not like being stuck in the cold and watching that thing crawl out of the north. He also really, really didn't like Thump being scared like that. That was something that he thought it was curtains. So Sekhmet's like life flashed before his eyes and is a little upset.
This is a multi-story building though, correct?
It's at least two stories from the outside.
Okay.
You were able to gather that. Possum is also thawing and he also manages to scoot over against a wall where he sits and he is gasping for air while Little Possum curls up in his lap and he eventually begins to start stroking him once enough feeling returns to him.
Having satisfied herself that Bash is all right, she's then going to crawl over to Possum. Are you all right, Possum? I believe we're safe now. Are you okay?
I think so. What happened?
Don't worry about it now. It's over. It's over.
It was him.
Probably.
It was him. You find yourself seated in an entrance chamber. Bright frescoes adorn the walls and images so pure and fresh that the painter could be in the next room cleaning up. And you feel as though breathing too hard would stir the leaves on the trees of the murals. Archways open ahead of you and to the left. So basically east and north out of this room are archways.
Yeah, I'm thinking north is a bad way to go. That's the direction that dude was, but, you know.
Say that one more time.
You're inside the building.
I know.
Yeah. You said there's archways.
Archways east out of north. This room.
Right.
Mm-hmm. East and north.
Mm-hmm. Wait, well, we were toward the east.
You're on the east side of the plaza.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So we continue east.
You are now inside the building.
Mm-hmm.
Inside the building, there are archways out of this room mm-hmm. into further parts of the interior of the building.
Right.
Toward the east and toward the
other toward the north.
Toward the north. Okay.
Tira is going to cast her eye quickly over the murals on the wall. Mm-hmm. Other than just the lifelike nature of them, is there anything of note?
Not that you can tell. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful work. And in fact,
so we're not in them.
You're not in them. One of the trees, one panel of the murals, in fact, on the west wall of this room seems to show a complete fountain. It's as though you would be looking out at the plaza.
Yeah, see, that's why you said they're so fresh. It's almost like the painters in the next room. I'm like, what if these things are like painting our story as we go along or something? That would be kind of cool. But anyway, that's fine.
Womberbash is curious. Are there stairs that go up?
No stairs in this room. None that you can see.
Okay.
After having looked over the mural, then Tira casts her eye about because she's seen Possum, she's seen Bash, she knows Hild is right there. Sekhmet?
There's a box, there's a couple bags of flour where Sekhmet was.
Oh.
Did my aminals come in with me or? No.
Yeah, we'll say they ran in with you.
Okay, nice.
Okay, oh no, poor babies up there.
I'm going to put them away.
Okay, you take a moment to dismiss them, and what does that look like?
I think they go back down to tribbles, and I'm just going to put them back
the
in
the tribbles
bag.
Disappear. They restore it.
Okay,
dawn.
I'm just going to dismiss them then.
Okay.
Tira looking around for Sekhmet, and just sees these random sacks of flour. What? Where is Sekhmet? Bash, did you see where Sekhmet went? Did he go through one of the arches?
He went over there in that corner or something.
Where these bags of flour are? Well, he's not hiding behind them.
I don't know.
Where is Sekhmet?
The bags of flour are not real, but Sekhmet did not want to be looked at. He was having some trouble like processing some things. And kind of without really... Something he had kind of done is always hide when he doesn't like things and he gets scared. And so without actively thinking, he cast minor illusion.
Oh, I like it.
I'll see what he's doing first before I say anything.
You did magic, so yes. Something's going to happen.
Nothing discernible happens.
Okay. Tira narrows her eyes because she remembers that Sekhmet has some weird, like, abilities and tendencies as far as, like, disguise and hiding and all that kind of thing. So she's going to walk closer to the flower sacks and reach out to touch one.
Kick him.
Well, the flower sacks at that point are obviously, they wave as
right,
if they aren't
okay.
really there and they dissipate.
Your hand goes right through it. And,
touches what?
One of his horns.
Yeah. at this point, it would probably be my shoulder because it kind of curled up in position. Yeah.
So her hand recoils back a second in surprise and then realizing what it is, she's just going to lay her hand on Sekhmet's shoulder. Sekhmet, are you all right?
Just getting warm. That was a terrifying experience. That is horrifying. That is the worst. I like shadows, but that was like the thing that has protected me for all time coming to attack. And that cold, I will never forget that. Whatever we do from here, I don't want to go back out there.
Womberbash, the smell of food drifts to your nostrils coming from the north passageway.
You smell that? That smells like food. It's coming from up there.
Where?
It's coming from through there, that one of those archways over there.
Sekhmet, to your right from the east passageway, you sense a little gleam of light down at the far end.
Who else is here?
What do you mean?
There are things that are here. There's something here. Can I smell the food as well? Or did only he smell the food?
Okay. You guys are being enticed.
Well, maybe. There's something down there. Somebody's down there. They have a lamp or something.
Where? Where? I don't see any light.
Sekhmet's going to stand up and kind of stretch a little bit. You don't see it down there?
He arises out of the bags of flour.
Hey. The bags of flour kind of like stop being bags of flour.
Yeah.
Down that way. Down the passage. You don't see anything?
I look down the passage that he indicates.
You can see a little gleam also.
Okay. And do I smell the food that Bash was referring to?
No.
Okay. Oh, I do see it. Down the east passageway.
Is there someone else here?
Anything's possible at this point. This entire place has been surprising me since we entered.
How far down the east passage, if I look down there, is it a long hallway?
It's about 50 feet long.
About 50 feet long?
Yeah.
And there's a light in another room down there?
No, it seems to be in the hallway.
There's light in the hallway. Is it moving or coming?
Nope.
Okay.
It's like a torch on the wall, maybe.
So you have dark vision, right?
I do.
You do. You see a what looks like a stand with something on top of it.
Stay here. Watch over him. I'm going to go see what that looks like.
Yeah, go check it out, but come straight back if you can.
I'm coming back. I'm not going to hang out.
What's your perception, Sekhmet?
Passive is 17.
Okay. You step into the hallway, and it looks at first like any hallway you would find in any building that you've ever been in. The left side is doorways. They all look to be very sturdy. Each one has a hefty locking mechanism on it all the way down to the far end. The right side is a continuation of the panels from the room that you're currently in.
Okay.
So like murals and stuff?
Yeah. Mean? And then down at the far end is the table or stand with something on it. And then what looks like a yawning, perfectly circular hole in the ceiling at the far end.
Above the light?
Above the table with the thing on it.
How many doors?
Oh, six.
Okay. Segment. Okay, there's a hole in the ceiling?
Yep, at the far end.
Anything could drop down out of that.
So
it's about a 5-foot diameter circle.
Okay. Segment is going to like being closer to the wall with the doors.
Okay.
Observe the frescoes along the way because he had seen them in the main room.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Had anybody said anything out loud about the frescoes?
No,
seen them. They didn't say anything about them.
Right, right.
Okay, so I'm going to observe the frescoes. Are they all matching each one of the doors?
Yeah, across from each door is a fresco panel.
Okay. Are there anything particular that he would notice about what those frescoes are?
You remember the outside before you came in. It looks like you're looking at paintings of the buildings across the street.
Okay, of course it is.
And then as you watch in that first panel, right when you first walk into the hallway, a little bird hops into the near side of the panel. Its wings flutter and fluff fitfully, and the brush strokes that compose it jump and blur with the quick motions.
Okay.
It wobbles into the first panel, then stops about 2/3 of the way, stopping short of the left side of the panel. Its head twitches this way and that, then bobs to peck at something on the ground. It might continue this way for some time, but it suddenly pops back up, looks over its shoulder toward the right side, and then bolts to the left out of this painting's frame and into the adjoining one down the hall. Whatever prompted this flurry of activity is enough to send it scampering the length of the salon away from you and then out the leftmost side of the last painting. And no wonder. Dark shadow wisps into the first painting from the right, hiding all of its former detail.
So the panel goes black.
Okay.
Sekhmet is going to press even further closer to the doors and scoot along the hallway.
Understood.
Humming his own theme song. Sekhmet wants to get a look at the hole and the light. So you said there's a table?
It is a table. It's okay. Like an end table that stands about 3 feet tall. Sitting on top of it is what looks to be a small pair of boots.
Oh, no. Well, go ahead.
Meredith understands something I don't.
No.
There's an end table with boots. Is that where the light is shining?
There is a placard on the table next to the boots, and it looks to be that fancy scrolling script that you saw on the stone before you
stuff
even entered this valley.
Right.
And then the blockier runes that you know to be dwarven runes.
Also can't read that. So two languages down here I can't read. Looking up above the boots and into the hole, how far can I see?
It's an upper floor.
Okay.
And in fact, as you peer around and maybe walk around below, you see that it looks like it's a hall built similarly to the one down where you are.
So the upper has a hole. Now, is there a ceiling above that, or how many floors up does it go?
It looks like that is the top floor of this particular building.
So whatever floor is immediately above us has a hole that leads down to where this is. Mm-hmm. So it kind of follows the same pattern. It's just a hole. Okay. Is there anything behind the table?
Nope. It's just a little table standing in the corner.
With the boots on it.
With the boots on it.
And when you say little boots, how little are we talking? Are we talking doll size? Or are we talking?
When I say little, the height is little.
Oh, okay.
They would fit you just fine.
Oh, okay.
It's just that they're like half boots or something.
Mm-hmm.
with a little curled toe on them.
Mm. without touching the table or the boots, Sekhmet is going to slide along the wall toward where he knows the shadow was in that first panel. Mm. And in sliding, he's also going to test the doorknobs to see if they are locked.
Doorknobs are all locked.
Okay.
As you go down the hall, and the shadow has moved along the hallway with you, and then it passes out the left frame and beyond.
When I come out of the hallway, it does?
While you were observing things, the shadow had moved the length of the hall and then disappeared out the far end.
Oh, far end. Okay.
And you're back to seeing the scene outside like it was.
So it had moved that way?
Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Tira, I'm going to, you need to come stay back to the here. Hall? No, yeah, come.
Did you came all the way back already.
Because those testing door knocks. You need to go down that hallway and go look. There are things written down there I can't read. It looks like things that you can read.
Okay.
Bash date. I was kind of surprised.
Yeah, because I'm at the north arch doorway smelling food.
Just like, yeah, and we're gonna get to you now, Bash. What would you like to do?
So I was thinking that while Tira's attention was on Sekhmet, as Sekhmet was down the hall, I think Bash took a couple of steps into that room to kind of get a little, see if I could identify. It smells like mutton to me, but I'm not sure.
This long chamber stretches away through the arch. It's probably a good 20 feet wide. Although dimly lit alcoves on either side of the main chamber adorn the walls. So 20-foot wide main chamber with little holes in the walls. Mm-hmm. From some of the alcoves, the friendly glint of yellow metal shines in the low light as piles of gold spill out into the main area. What captures your attention most, however, Womberbash, is a long, sturdy table that must be 100 feet long. It is stacked with dishes. At the far end of the chamber, beyond the head of the table, is a final alcove. There seems to be something in it, but it's obscured by an ornate chair at the table. If you will give me a wisdom check, not a saving throw, but a check.
Okay.
Yeah, just use your wisdom modifier.
Yep.
And on the roll. With disadvantage.
Oof. That means it could be worse.
Even if my perception is filling in and everything?
Yeah.
Okay. Ugh. 6.
What is on this table, food-wise?
I'm gonna say some braised lamb, nice and juicy. I'm gonna say a lot of the food that I liked in those Greek islands where we were.
Okay.
It impressed me so much that that's the food that I see that's on the table.
Okay.
Tomatoes, cucumbers, tzatziki sauce. Just like all chickpeas, just like all the and olive oil with like mint and just like all that stuff.
Yeah. Lots of bread on the side, various other dishes that smell sweet or savory, hot, cold.
Yep.
It's all laid out and it looks delicious. What are you going to do?
Well, even for Bash, this seems quite suspicious. I'm going to look up. Is there a hole in this
nope.
hallway either?
No, nope. Okay. It's just a vaulted ceiling.
All right. So I'm going to head all the way down to this ornate chair. Mm-hmm. And see what's going on over there, what's obscured.
Okay. Behind the chair is more treasure spilling out of an alcove, but then on a stand, there is a book that is open to a last page that has, again, the combination of blocky runes and flowing script.
Okay, so I can't read those either. Okay, so Bash is going to turn around. He couldn't care less about gold. So I'm just going to leave the area and come back and tell Tira that she has to read something over here.
Okay. Hey, Mom.
Yeah. Hey, Mom.
Hey, can you read this?
Hey, Tira, where's Tira?
Tira's down, like, looking at the boots on the table.
Okay.
Okay, so where's Tira, Sekhmet?
There's a table with some boots down there. She's looking at the script.
There's a book in here that she can read, I think. I don't understand it.
Is it more of the script?
It's something. I can't read it.
We'll wait until she gets back because of the three of us, it seems.
Hey, Tira.
We could ask Thump, but Thump couldn't tell us what he read.
You hear voices echoing down the hall, Tira. As you stand at the table, there is a placard, and you are easily able to read the dwarven script. A kindness for they that are overbound with sleep. Say up and rise.
Elevator shoes.
platforms.
Was it the 70s again?
Yeah, exactly.
What are these flare pants about?
Yeah. When Tira looks at the shoes, do they appear to be her size?
They're kind of slouch shoes, mm-hmm. Like you just slide
like
your foot
in. Like a slouch boot, yeah.
Yeah, it's more like a house slipper than it is like a working boot. So it's made to be wearable by a large number of people.
Okay. I was curious. I thought maybe these are the kind that will fit, like they change to fit whoever is.
There's a gold tee on the side.
What in the world is that?
Those Trump shoes. Have you seen those?
Oh.
Sorry. Oh, they're horrendous.
Anyway.
Hey, Tira, I have a book over here. I need you to read it.
What? And she turns and looks back over her shoulder down the hallway as he's peeking in the little door there.
Yeah. He's twisting his hands in front of him.
All right. I'm going to leave those shoes there for the time being to find out what the other thing is, and then we'll see which one seems more promising.
All right.
So she heads back up the hallway. Oh, okay, where is this book you want me to see,
Dash? It's
right
over here. It's right through that door there. It's all the way at the end of the room.
Okay.
Now, you said that it was obviously a two-story building.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know that because of any stair steps going up, do we?
Correct.
No, just that hole in
just
the ceiling.
Just the hole in.
Sure.
And the outside facade, I think, showed that it at least was a two.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It is the height of a two-story building from the outside.
Right.
Tira, you approach the book. There is a gentle glow. It's not like a special light shining down, but there's enough light here to read by. When you enter the room, you see a table. Go ahead and roll with advantage on a perception check.
One second, man.
I am basing this...
Goodness.
I am basing this on past play.
Okay.
Because you are so into food, you roll with disadvantage. Tira rolls with advantage. And Sekhmet is even.
In your perception, you said?
Yep.
So that's 17.
Okay.
Even with all that gold, he would be even?
This roll is for the table alone.
Okay.
Total of 17?
Yes, sir.
Tira, you see a table, and across it are strewn broken bits of dishes and what looks like rotting remains of old food, most of it ground to powder by now.
She kind of crinkles her nose at that and ignores it altogether. Ugh.
As you pass to the end of the hall, go by all these alcoves, and you see gold spilling out. And there are some interesting-looking things scattered throughout.
Like artifacts and stuff?
Some of them. In fact, sitting atop one pile is an axe with a black blade. But there at the end is the book on the stand.
Wolf.
When we last left off, well, let me just do this. The face of the captain skitters across the paving stones.
Man.
I'm sorry, that's not funny. Hang on.
What's left of it?
It goes across the thing like, you know, Prince Eric statue.
Yes,
style.
That's exactly
like
what I was thinking.
Oh, no. Okay, stop. Say it again. We won't laugh. Okay.